Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we are here with Robin and her son from the McMillions documentary. This is crazy. I can't believe we're actually here. When I was watching that documentary, I did not think that there was a chance that I would actually be having you guys on the podcast.
I can't believe I'm here, man.
Really?
This is awesome. I like feel like you jumped out of my phone. I watch your stories and stuff every day. it's so cool.
That's tight. That's like the best thing I could possibly hear. Okay, so I guess I would kind of like to start before the documentary even happened. Like, did you expect that this was going to happen, that at some point you were going to be able to tell your story and that the whole world would be paying attention?
I knew we were going to be indicted at some point.
Right.
But as far as telling the whole world, no, I didn't.
Right.
I just thought they would have saw me in handcuffs and heard it from John Ashcroft.
Right. And this was all the way back in 2001 when you got indicted.
Right, by John Ashcroft.
Right.
That's what I thought was going to be it.
Right, and it must have just been like a crazy thing to have something that happened 20 years ago, but then all of a sudden now the world knows your face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I didn't even think we were on the radar again.
Right.
So, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, because the story, like I've read a few articles about the story over the years, but then to have it fully just put on display in such a high quality way for the world to see, I mean, it's got to be a weird thing. Like, were you dealing with people realizing that you were involved with this whole storyline for years prior to this? Like, obviously, this is it being blown open on a huge mainstream level. But I imagine that over the years, this has had to have affected your lives, or were you getting to the point where nobody was talking about it because it had been so long?
Well, we got to that point, but at the beginning, of course, I lost family members.
Could you just scoot away from the fence a little bit? Sorry about that. The fence is kind of loud.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Of course, at the beginning, I lost family members. You know, money's good. When money's not bad, everybody gets in trouble.
Right.
You lose family members. So other than that, no, I did not expect this to come out again.
Right. What was the process of actually doing the documentary like? Was it just like a couple of long sit-down interviews?
No, actually, I was approached by Jeffrey Mache, and he hit me up on Messenger and asked me if I was the Robin Colombo married to Gennaro Colombo.
Right.
And, of course, I said yes. And then I get a call from David Clawins, a producer, and we talked for a while. And he says, would you like to do a movie? So I said, yeah.
So you didn't have any sort of qualms about being a part of it from the beginning? You were like, no, let's do it.
Yeah.
Because there's a few people involved in it that, particularly the other Jerry, who wanted nothing to do with it.
Of course.
Weren't willing to have their face on camera at all, which after seeing how this has all gone down, you're like, oh, of course he would make that decision. That makes a lot of sense because now everybody involved in this is famous and he seems like somebody who doesn't want to be famous. When you look at it now, are you kind of like, damn, maybe I should have stayed in the shadows there?
No. He's, sure, he's not cool that it all came out, but I knew he would stay in the shadows.
Right.
Yeah, he was that type of guy.
Right.
I mean, he was like a cloak and dagger kind of guy, you know. Okay, meet me over here, and then not there. Now pick me up over here, and kind of thing.
But when you're a gangster, there's always a part of you that kind of wants everybody to know how clever you are and what this big scheme you thought up was, right?
No.
for some percentage of gangsters, there's a point where they want the world to know exactly what they've done to make all this money.
No. Because you don't want to lose it.
Right. But now that it's been gone for all these years and stuff,
it sucks.
Right. But do you think of yourself as sort of abiding by that kind of gangster mentality, or has that just sort of dissipated into the back of your mind over the years? Because there is this code of silence that would kind of prohibit you from doing a documentary if you were still actively about that life, right?
I thought that. But when the feds hit me with it, when I did that code of silence, I'll get back to you. That's not how it works.
Right.
No, not at all. They already know way more than you know. Mm. And so when they were going to change my custody level and these guards go to take me away, I go, wait, what? Hey, I need to go talk to these FBI.
We got
to
just scoot you away from the fence. Sorry, I don't know why we have this fence here. It's starting to seem like a crazy idea. No, it's good. Okay. Just, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of iconic.
It is kind of iconic now, right? The fence. Yeah, we haven't had the fence for a while.
You can't lose the fence, man.
I didn't think of it like that.
You know,
yeah.
We didn't have the fence at camp.
Right.
Okay. Started off with one.
Right. But so, okay, so you decide to do it. So your prior assumptions that you would never want to talk about criminal acts on camera, those just sort of went away pretty quickly once the feds started talking to you?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Once the feds started talking to me, I told them to give me their card, and I'd get back to them.
Uh-huh.
And so they went to leave, and all of a sudden, because I'm at work release, the lieutenant comes, says, come here, Columbo. We're shackling you, and you're going to prison under investigation. I said, wait, what? And he said, come here. I said, oh, no.
Right.
I ran to the door, and I kicked open the door, and I said, hey, you, come back here. Come here. Mm-mm-mm. So they came back, and I said, okay, exactly what do you know?
Right.
Just to kill some time, because I knew where they were going to take me.
Uh-huh.
So I killed about 10 hours with them.
So you didn't have anybody that you were worried about, you
getting
know,
busted,
killing you because you talked to them?
No, I was in the safest place you could be.
Mm-hmm.
I was in prison.
Right.
But it was already, you could tell, I didn't spill the beans.
Right.
I was indicted for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I had been the one that spilled the beans, then I would have been in the background. I wouldn't even been talking.
Once they already know the whole
scheme. When they know,
scheme.
They know. Yeah, they had a poster of Uncle Jerry in the middle, and here I am connected to Uncle Jerry, you know, and then they had all these other little bubbles.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Did you have any qualms about being involved with all this whole thing, or you think anything bad could come from it?
I mean, I was really just a little kid at the time.
I know. That's what's crazy. You're like an infant in the actual
literally
show.
You know, I had no idea. I was kind of sheltered, you know, a lot of my life, and I didn't understand why for a while. But then I did understand because now all this coming out.
Right.
So I see why they kind of kept me away from everybody.
It's weird because
it's weird though.
It just seems like such a fun scam. It's not like, you know, like everybody can see why it was so captivating. You know, I was a kid doing my paper route and, you know, stealing those. There was a lot of fraud going on in general too, because me and my friends, we would do the paper route. We would steal the McDonald's things, and we would end up with a couple hundreds of those each. So I was like, there's fraud going on at all different levels of this scam. We were the paper boys, and we were cheating the system too, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there's more fraud than you know.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
There's more that they don't even know about on the show.
Yeah. You know, I used to smoke weed. The only reason I stopped, mind you.
I currently smoke fish, yes.
The only reason I stopped smoking was because it was making me gain too much weight.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, obviously there's not a lot of height to me, so smoking weed and getting too fat kind of looks like take a garbage can lid and just crunch me down here. So
right.
I had to choose my battles here. Do I get fat or smoke weed? Which one?
I'm not going to lie. I have gone through long periods of time in my life where I ate like incredibly strict and worked out really hard, and weed was the only thing that kept me going. Like, I'm not eating Oreos, but I am smoking a lot of weed.
That's my dilemma I'm on right now with soda. Do I drink soda or do I eat?
Right, because it's like you need that one. You need one thing to sort of rely on.
That one thing that you want to keep.
Right, caffeine does it for me too.
Yeah.
It's like it keeps me super wired all day. I know it's not good for me, but at least it keeps me not thinking about food as much.
Right, exactly.
For me, it's dabs.
Dabs. Ah, oh, my kind of guy,
I'm a
right
dab
here.
Guy. Dude, my Xbox name is Dab and Dad.
Oh my God.
If that says anything, I love dabs and I love being a dad.
That's like,
it's the best thing.
Wait, how old are you now?
I just turned 25.
Okay, and how many kids do you have?
Just one. She'll be three in a couple months.
Wow, my first one is being released in
months,
about
right?
6 weeks, I think.
Six
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah,
wow,
it's coming right up.
I knew it was coming, man. That's
she,
awesome. Congratulations.
She could blow it any minute. I appreciate it. Yeah. Any
it's
tips?
Awesome to congratulate you in person.
Thank you. What do I need to know? Like, what's the biggest change?
For me, it just came day by day.
Yeah.
Really. And we read some of the books, like the What to Expect When Expecting and the basic stuff. But it just came day by day, and it just comes naturally.
Right.
I was super scared until that same day.
Really?
And then, like, she was born, and it just clicks.
Right.
It's awesome.
Because it's, you know, it's built
really cool.
into your fucking body.
It like, literally
this is.
This
is what you're supposed to be
yeah,
doing with
it
your life.
Literally is, bro.
All these video games,
no
all these
worries.
Smoking dabs, it's fun, but it's like yeah. you're not biologically designed to do that.
Right. Yeah, like, I don't even drink. I don't do anything, bro. I just smoke dabs.
Mm.
That's it. But I love being a dad.
Right.
Yeah. It's
respect.
Awesome.
You have any qualms about your kids smoking so much weed? You know these dabs. They're crazy.
Yeah, well, I've never tried that.
You never did that?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That might be for the best,
yeah.
honestly.
But as far as weed, because it is coming more acceptable and it's helping so many people, like with cancer,
right.
glaucoma, and he was going through depression. And
yeah, it saved my
really,
life.
It's
for sure.
really helped him mentally. And so I'm glad that it's helping him like that because I was going to psychiatrist for help.
Right. What a joke.
Okay.
Just smoke weed.
Yeah.
How dare you? Right.
You know, I mean, and they're always giving you a different cocktail. You never know what you're going to get.
Right.
You know, so that worked for him. And
okay.
I'm glad.
Let me ask you this. What the first time that you appeared in the series, because it's, I think, episode
two
is when you first pop up.
Mm-hmm.
What was the next day on the internet like for you after that came out?
You know, I really don't.
Not a scroller?
No, not really. Actually, people were just calling me and saying, "Now, did you see this?" "No, not that." "Well, you need to watch this." "You sure I need to see that?"
But there's like a point where it's got to go past like, oh.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff,
but,
of course.
But there's a moment where it's like, oh, a bunch of my friends know about it. And then there's a moment where you realize, oh, no, everybody has seen
know
this.
About
everybody,
it.
Like short of Tiger King, pretty much everybody has seen this. Yeah.
Yeah, it did get to that point.
Right.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I would be at Lowe's, Walmart at the bank, whatever, and people come, "Ah, there's her if I make millions." I'm like, "Really? God, I should have did my hair, you know, or
because right.
they want a picture."
Mm.
And unless it was a person that, "Oh, make millions, you know."
Oh, you've had people be sort
you
of
know,
snooty to you.
Just one.
Really?
It's like, "Oh, no, you wouldn't have done it. Or you weren't asked."
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
You think it's the red hair? I feel like if your hair was black or something, that you might be able to...
got along better with it.
Yeah, the red hair is like your signature thing now. It's like you're a superhero.
Love it.
Red everything.
Red everything.
Yeah, that's
like
my
couch.
Favorite color.
You ever heard
curtains.
Of the Bloods?
I've heard of them, but I'm not with
not
them.
Interested in joining.
Love red.
Nah.
Well, they like red. That's what I'm saying. You know?
No.
You ever heard of 6ix9ine?
No.
Oh my God.
Mm, okay. Mm-mm. That's probably good.
Dude, he's on benches everywhere. What?
Yeah.
This is my first time out here, so I'm not. I've been in Missouri this past year.
Right.
Crazy.
Imagine you just live in a neighborhood and, like, all of a sudden the bus bench has this guy all over it. And you're just like, "This is my neighborhood. I've lived here my whole life. Now you got this guy staring back at me every morning."
I saw a video of him, I think it was this morning, like handing out CDs.
Right.
Like it's just a stack of them, not even in CD cases.
Yeah.
Just on the corner.
You got to troll people, through the pain in this day and age.
People like, were even like, "I don't want it."
If it hurts, it don't matter. You still got to just troll. You got to just try to fight through the pain, you know? That's what it is these
days. Pretty crazy, bro.
I guess. Okay. So, but how has your life changed since the show came out, though? Like, do you feel awkward about going out in public in general?
No, not at all.
It's not that
because
bad.
Because you know what? This is how I feel. There's maybe a minute people that hasn't actually broken the law.
Mm.
Some way or another, somebody's done something. They just haven't been caught or they're lying.
Mm.
You know, I don't care what it is. It could be something minor, but they've broken the law somehow.
Right.
So,
Yeah, it didn't even cross my mind that you would feel bad about having been involved in that crime. Because, I mean, at the end of the day...
I mean, yeah. I mean, who's...
Who would not do it? Come on.
Exactly. $1 million? Somebody's got to win it.
Especially when somebody is coming to you and they're saying... They're not exactly, like, phrasing it in such a way that you realize how it's going to go down in the future. Mm-hmm. If somebody came to me and said they have this ticket, it's just not going to occur to me that this is going to come back to get me in the ass, or that the FBI is going to end up caring about it. It's like, now when you watch the documentary, it's like, oh yeah, that shit was extremely illegal, and I can completely see why everybody got in trouble for it. But I mean,
after you've gotten so much money,
right? And in the moment, though, it's just got to feel like, all right, I'm just hitting a lick. How could they ever prove this?
And you did,
right?
Still.
I feel like the payments are so small that they have to make back.
They didn't, though. Well,
what do you mean?
You know, like at the end when they say, this person couldn't make.
I mean, for example, they expected me to pay almost $2 million back.
Right.
But it's like $50 a month for 50 years.
You know, Mark and Devereaux, the prosecutor, he and I got on first name basis.
Right.
You know, I'm like, Mark, really? You know, I can't pay you $2 million. You know, I didn't get to. I know, Mrs. Colombo, that's not the way it works. I'm like, well, it's a good thing because I can't pay you $2 million.
But are you on the $50 a month type payment plan?
Until next year.
Next year?
Yeah.
How much have you paid?
None.
Wait, what? Explain.
Well,
you got to be paying them something, right? What if you don't pay them?
Well, okay. Not this is dollar. How that worked out.
You're making it seem like the FBI is a fucking joke, and that they just hand you like a joke payment form, like, yeah, you can pay us if you want. If not, whatever.
You're still off at this time.
Yeah, sorry. You're not going to jail. It's fine. Whatever.
Listen, so much happened between me and the FBI. And even the U.S. Marshals, we were like on first name basis because we became actually friends, believe it or not. I actually chased a federal agent and my prosecutor down a hall screaming at him over my son.
Why? What did he try to do?
I wasn't allowed to contact him. They were protecting him. Because they got this big case, so I wasn't allowed to contact him because the Columbos had him, you know. And anywho, the reason I didn't have to keep paying the $50 was I would have been on probation 3 months after getting out of federal prison, right? Because it was a paper crime. 3 years is what you get automatically when you come out. Well, I was in the halfway house, and I think the Super Bowl was in Jacksonville that year, in 05. And I was coming home from work, and this young girl decided they were having a party prior to me getting there. The guys, everybody, because the guys and the girls were all kind of together in one common area. And she offered me a drink or something, and I'm like, I just said goodbye to my daughter's father. He was dying. And so I really wasn't in my right head. But anyway, long story short, I took a drink, and she gets up and does dancing and all kinds of crap. So they take us women and breathalyze us.
Mm.
Well, that popped up. So that's an automatic go back to jail.
Just from drinking?
Yeah, and not even much. But anywho, so I'm back in the room, and then she comes back. I said, you know, that was messed up what you did. She goes, well, you know, nobody had told you had to drink. I said, you're right there. You're right. I did that on my own. Well, you know, because I'm not a really tall woman, and she took it upon herself to do this to me, and I just slung her across the room and started fighting her.
You assaulted your probation
officer?
One
of the girls that was living there.
Oh, okay.
And she started the fight. And I didn't want to fight her. And I even pushed her. I said, you know what? You're not worth it. So I left her. And I went to the ladies' room, me and this other girl. And she came around the corner and jumped on my back. So I turned around and I just slung her on the floor again. And I just started beating her. And I had rings on. And, of course, you know, that made a mess.
Man, I would not want to get hit with those things.
And so they called the director of the halfway house, and he gets there and he calls me a bully, said there was four women jumped on her and all this, and he found out it was me, and he says, get off my property in 30 minutes, you have to go home. So I went home, and I had to keep going to court before I knew it was inevitable that I was going back to prison.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, when the marshals see me, they're like, Columbo, what are you doing? We didn't think we'd see you. I'm like, well, hey, yeah. Well, we heard you won. I'm like, yeah, did I really win? Did I? Well, that's how my $50 got cut off.
Really?
Yeah, because I had to go back, and that null and voided my probation. So
$2 million restitution gone?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Now, if I ever come into that kind of money, they would get it.
So if you did hit the lottery tomorrow, they'd be coming for
it. They probably wouldn't believe it anyway. They would probably have it stopped and check everybody out.
Have you been able to profit off of this newfound notoriety in any significant way?
Well, I wrote a book. I've got a book out there.
It's already out.
It is.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I wrote it years ago, but I revamped it up to date.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And no, I really haven't made a whole lot of money off of it. I don't really want to get into that, the reasons why, but who knows what'll happen.
Is it that you don't want to bring in money because you're just going to have to give it all away?
Nope. That's not it at all. No, not at all.
Just messed up people.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of people you can't trust out there, so.
Oh, so you've
in the business.
Tried to work with people that didn't really work out with?
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, yeah. So I'll say about that.
How do you feel about the way you were presented in the documentary, in the show?
You know what? It's actually, James and Ryan did a phenomenal job, I think. They were the directors.
They're awesome.
They really are awesome guys to work with. They really make you feel comfortable. There was just one episode that was not on the air that I literally wanted to jump on somebody, and I guess that's why it wasn't on the air.
Really?
And I couldn't get the mic off or anything, so
I was waiting for it, like at home watching it live, like waiting for it to happen, and it never happened.
And then you realized it was cut?
It was cut.
What actually happened? They misrepresented you?
Well, one of the girls sat on the front porch telling me, oh, I went to the IRS and told them I owed $50,000 because I felt that, you know, Jerry left me with nothing. And I'm like, you made all kinds of money with Jerry. What's she talking about?
Right.
You know, these lies. There's so many fakers, a lot of them, but not going to go into that either. So after, you know, I sat there and thought about it, this, going to watch my language here. Just told me that she told the IRS about this thing. So she goes, what was I supposed to do? I said, you get payment plan, like I did on a $40,000 IRS. You make payments.
Right.
You don't bring down the whole house of cards, you know, when you've profited from it for so many years, you're just pissed because he's gone and there is no more.
Interesting. Yeah, because at the end, it's sort of like revealed that the mother, the grandmother,
was actually
the one who snitched.
I knew that.
So you knew all along.
Mm-hmm.
You assumed?
I knew.
Or did the documentary basically fill in? Was there anything that you learned from the documentary about this whole way this went down that was new to you?
That Frank Colombo, the youngest son, tried to act like he was such a good brother, you know, and good person and all this. When he was never even at our house, maybe two times.
Really?
The whole time we were together.
He's not associated with the family at all.
At all.
Really?
No.
Yeah, he just wanted a piece of fame.
Wow.
And he's just so full of crap. So I can't.
A part that really bothers me is when he says that he was the only one in the room when my dad passed away, which I wasn't there myself.
I was in the hospital myself.
But she was there. My grandmother and my grandfather were there holding his hands, you know, until the last, like, beep. You know, and they tell me that and they cry about it. And, like, I don't see why they would lie about that.
Right.
You know, and he was there, definitely, but he wasn't the only one there. And just, like, little things like that, you know.
And then to admit to people on the show that he broke into my house while I'm in the hospital.
Right.
Looking for money. That's my money. What the hell are you doing?
Right.
You're going to call me a thief over all the. I couldn't watch all of him because I can't stand to look at him.
Oh, really? It's like that.
Huh? Yeah. So, but I was told he was calling me a thief and all that. And then I'm like, but didn't you say he broke into my house, which I already knew he broke into my house looking for money and said he found tickets, which he did not at all. Jerry had wrapped that.
I tried to talk to him recently, right before the show aired, and I was like, hey, just so you know, I know the show's coming out. Anything wrong with me, like with you, it's not to do with the family. Like, I still love you guys, blah, blah, blah. And then he just blocked me.
Blocked you?
Straight blocked.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude. And, like, he did help me out for a little bit, and I did live with him for a while when I was a teenager.
Uh-huh.
And then I think it was, like, smoking weed and, like, stupid shit like that.
That pissed him off?
Yeah, and, like, he wanted me to be a certain way, and I don't know. I think it really came down to more of the family stuff. We just couldn't get along, but I still had no problem. I was like, hey, just so you know, there's no beef with me. And he just blocked me.
Yeah, so whatever.
Like, I really don't care. You know, right. I just, whatever.
You guys are making me really thankful that my family is so boring in comparison and probably has been involved in almost no organized crime.
And the grass isn't always greener, I guess, type thing. You know? Yeah. I wish it was boring.
Right. Oh, man, that's crazy. Do you think that that scene was real when they show that his kid was actually working at McDonald's?
He does. I worked at that same McDonald's a few years back.
That's pretty hilarious. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I felt like it seemed kind of fake. Like, why is this kid walking in while they're filming?
No,
it seems
that's
a little
their real
too
son.
Perfect.
That's their real son. That's their youngest son, Vinny. Vintonio.
I've never met him.
Vintonio sounds like a made-up name. Just
right. Well, I know. That's what we say.
That's because my husband always wanted a Vinny or a Antonio. After Francesco, of course.
But like, okay, let's torture this kid and give him the craziest combination name ever.
Himself isn't really like Frank. I mean, now that he's older, maybe I haven't seen him in years, but he's a really smart kid.
Right.
You know, he's a cool kid, but they're different.
Yeah. Does growing up around all this stuff, because when you watch like crime movies, it's always like the kids want to get into what the parents were into or whatever. Is that had not had that effect on you where you're not really interested in the illegal side
of
life?
I mean, Godfather and stuff like that, definitely number one movies. It just comes with it. I got Sicilian tattooed across my arm. I just had to.
What's the other one say?
Oh, man, I don't really know.
Oh, some old school graffiti type shit?
Yeah, I don't know. I just got it because I thought it'd be cool at the time.
What's it say? Flossin'?
Finessin'.
Ooh, finessin'.
Dollar signs, too. I know.
Shout out Young Scooter.
Nice. But yeah.
Finesse. That's
but hey, at the time, whatever.
No,
it's cool. You know, I want more tattoos, though. I actually told Defector over there that if I got a No Jumper tattoo, if that'd be okay with you. Since I came on the show, I would definitely get one.
Let's go. I think it needs to be on the face, though.
No, that's
the back, the entire back.
Then it's going to be a World War III with Mr. Columbo.
Yeah,
you
know,
they don't have tattoos.
They're
or
not
facial
that, right?
hair.
Yeah.
You know, they got their things there. You can kill people, you can do this, but you can't smoke, you can't have
it's
a tattoo.
Crazy, bro.
Yeah.
They're big on respect, though. You know, it's one thing. They did
loyalty
raise me a little different,
respect,
but they raised
but
me big on
don't
respect.
Don't have a tattoo. So. And no. The reason I bring up smoke, because I used to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we was at the house, and his dad was yelling at him, and my husband in Italian. And then I was oblivious to it, and Jerry goes, let's go, Rob. And I'm like, what the hell? He goes, my father smelled smoke on you, so he doesn't want you around here right now. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I said, oh, I can smoke cigarettes, but I mean, you can kill people. I can't smoke.
Right.
And then we just laughed. Or he laughed.
Right. Yeah, it's a double standard, but I mean that's the way that world is, though, huh?
Yeah,
so
well,
different.
You know. Yeah, I was brought up military. My dad was intelligence in the military.
Hmm.
And that's what hurt the world. Seeing him on TV got to me the most, because I would have never went to my father to have a ticket ever in life to break the law.
Right.
He was an upstanding man's man, intelligence, like I said, in the military. And when he called me when I lived in South Carolina and said, I want the big one, I didn't say a word. I just said, okay. I didn't want to put him through that, because I knew it must have taken a lot to even ask me.
Right.
So I just said, okay. So I went to Jerry and I said, give my dad my ticket. He goes, what the hell are you talking about?
Right.
That's your ticket. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to give it to my daddy. He must need it, you know, whatever. He's an idiot, you know, we went through all of that. Anyway, I gave it to my dad. But then when I saw him on the documentary,
that's when it actually hurt, like, shit, I kind of dragged you into this in a way that I didn't have to.
Well, I don't feel like I dragged him, but I just wish I would have. But how do you tell your dad no to $1 million?
Right.
Mean, it just hurt.
$1 million sounds pretty tempting. You know,
it's
switching.
Very tempting.
When you think about where the average person's
hurt.
At in life, it's like that $1 million is like.
Yeah.
It'll make them do things that they would absolutely never even think about doing otherwise.
Yeah, especially when it's just a little peel ticket away, you know?
Yeah. It's not like you gotta go.
I used to see him. Jerry's like, here, come look at this.
I think it's pretty ridiculous how my dad's on the commercials, like the actual McDonald's commercials.
That almost cost his life.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, he lost his life due to that?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, because he shouldn't have been on that commercial.
Ah.
Meeting people, you know, the guy with the tickets, and then here he is on a commercial of it.
Right. Yeah, it's got to be
tricky. He had somebody over, and it all panned out.
I bet in his mindset, though, he's like, I'm a winner. What?
That's what I won. That's how he felt.
Yeah, I bet.
He won.
That's what I would say.
He was a ham.
Yeah. Like, if you found $1 million in a box on the ground.
I'm sorry, I would take it.
Hell yeah, I'm taking it. And I'm not going to act like it's a big deal. I'm not going to act like I did anything wrong. I'm just going
to... Who does this belong to?
Yeah, oh, hell no. You hear about that sometimes? Look, people.
He's got a wallet loaded full of money in Walmart,
little, for the record.
Me, him, and my mother-in-law, right?
Uh-huh.
And she's like going through this thing now. Oh, we got to teach him the right thing. I'm like, now? Really?
Right.
He's got a wallet full of money, Mom. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm feeling like this. And he ran before we could do anything about it and gave it to this guy that you knew it wasn't his money.
What?
Yes.
He gave it to the wrong guy?
Yes.
Were you like five or something?
Ran out to some seven random or eight. Dude.
Okay.
I was like, hey, here, this is your wallet, right?
And we knew it wasn't his money. It wasn't even his money.
Right.
At least I should have got it. Or me and Ma, you tripped. You know, it doesn't matter.
Could have got like a Happy Meal out of it or something.
No, you'd have got a little more than a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you would have got a Happy Meal.
That's what I'm saying.
You get a Happy Meal, we'll take the rest of it. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I've definitely been in that position where you like find $50 on the ground and it's like the best day of your life.
You
might have made a lot more than that doing something else that day.
Yeah, but
something about finding it on the ground or stealing it that just feels good, you know?
It's a rush.
You steal a candy bar from 7-Eleven, I guarantee you it's going to make more good chemicals flood into your brain than if you go buy the candy bar and eat it.
I know. Unfortunately.
It's weird how that works.
I know that.
You know it for a fact.
Yeah. I told you we had I didn't tell you.
What, the M&M?
Yeah, see, I used
talk about
to smoke
the
M&M? Weed.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, when he was little.
Right.
But I couldn't smoke it till after I put him to bed because I'm not one of those weed smokers that can go on about their day.
Really?
When I smoke weed, I need to be... Okay, ready? Give me my comedy movie, whatever I'm going.
Comedy movie?
Yeah, I have to have comedy.
Really?
Down with what I'm going to laugh with. I don't need any distractions. And let's go. He's in bed. And so anyway, I would always try to fall asleep before the munchies came on.
Mm.
But then I would wake up in the middle of the night. And I would hit his treat drawer. It was Reese's Reese's cups.
You're so high, you hit the kid's treat drawer.
Yes.
The Halloween staff.
No, it was his own treat drawer.
I respect it. I'll do that to my kid. I'm going to buy you more tomorrow. Don't worry.
Oh, it was horrible. When he asked for a treat.
Yeah, you got to say the whole thing, too. Mommy treats.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, he goes, you sound like a freaking rat down there opening the old papers, you know? And then I fell asleep one night in his armpit and chocolate. He's like, what the f- Robin, what the hell, there's chocolate everywhere. I'm like, chocolate
in his armpit. That's how aggressively you were eating the candy.
Yes,
that sounds almost impossible. That's incredible.
I know. Wait, there's more. Then there was bubble gum. Then he had to shave his armpit. What kind of gangster am I gonna not have hair under my armpit, you know?
Right.
Anywho, so he takes me downstairs. He goes, okay, look, opens the freezer. He says, do you see this in the freezer? And it was a gray M&M wrapped in foil.
Uh-huh.
He says, do not freaking eat this.
Right.
And I'm like, why? He goes, it's $50,000 freaking dollars.
Right, because that was a promotion they used to do, right?
Yeah.
The gray M&M.
Yeah, we had it.
How did he get the gray M&M as well?
The same way he got the McDonald's tickets.
What?
Had he lived, this would still be going on, trust me. Because as we know, they wanted him, so the story got told.
Right.
But had he lived, the story would still be going on, and I would soon be winning Clearinghouse.
Wow. So you'd still be hitting licks off of the shit.
I'm sorry, but...
I respect it, man. That's how it is.
I
just still don't understand
it's
how you
like
got
I'm going up and saying, hey, give me that ticket right
like
now.
Like, what, do they keep the prizes from McDonald's at the same place that they keep the M&M prizes? Or
No.
And how does someone not, like, make a fake gray M&M? I feel like I could make a fake gray M&M.
Right, I thought the same thing.
You know, it doesn't seem
maybe
bad.
It has some kind of glow underneath a light or something.
Right. But did he know that?
I'm sure he knew everything, you know.
There had to have been other things.
Because your dad was your dad. He could always think of anything, you know, kind of, how to make money. And had he could have cloned that, he would have. Trust me, we would have had gray M&Ms everywhere.
But like, you're supposed to want to be your dad, right?
I know.
But and is listen, there a big part of you doesn't really care about being a criminal mastermind?
Well, of course, it's in there.
There's a little bit of it in the back.
It's in there. He's had his
and I've had my little
moments.
I have a background, you know, but I don't really talk about it anymore because I just, from 18 to 21, I just turned my brain off. Didn't really care. I didn't have anything to really go for, so I didn't care.
Mm.
And I was in and out of jail and stuff like that.
Really?
But I'm not even like a felon. I just like a bunch of stupid stuff. But then like I had a kid and it was great.
Really?
Like,
that changed everything?
Literally like night and day. Like, just like it comes to you overnight, bro. It literally changed me overnight.
Right.
But even like the pregnancy, I would say changed me. Like going to the doctor visits and stuff like that. Like it's cool.
Right.
You know, hearing the heartbeat, picking out the names, decorating the nursery. It's awesome.
Just like
know?
Having something that's a bit more important that you
She's
have to.
Awesome,
instantly, everything right. else didn't matter.
Mm.
Like at all.
That makes sense.
It's cool.
Yeah.
She even does. My husband and I, when I was pregnant with him, I used to wear this onesie pajamas, and I look like a little bear, you know, because you're pregnant. So he says, "God, you look like you're doing a little dancing bear thing, you know." I'm like, okay. His daughter does this thing. She goes, "I'm doing the dancing bear," you know. And I'm like, where the hell did you get that, you know? But she is so freaking adorable. She's beautiful. Funny. It's like she's got his personality.
Yeah.
She's all without over my Instagram. Name's
yeah,
Lila.
Without the...
The criminality.
Yeah. Because right. she can't she's stand awesome. Anything to go... Like me, I used to tell Jerry, please don't ever tell me you hurt anybody. Please.
Right.
You know?
So you knew, you just didn't really want to know?
No, because I really expected, like he was doing, they have an underground key club in Hilton Head.
Mm-hmm.
That was all politicians and actors, which I won't name names.
Right.
Because these were, you know, well, they're good actors. And they also stayed at the Taj Mahal. They had their own suites and stuff. And it was bedding, and he had me snowed on a lot of stuff. But anyway, when I told him, please don't ever tell me you hurt somebody, he was like, Robin, what do you think I do? You think I just go around here whacking people?
Right.
And I'm like, well, I don't know. He goes, Robin, if people get involved, he goes, it's not like I could just go whack them. He goes, you know, we talk to them. I'm like, you talk to them, huh?
Right. I mean, that's what I would say if I was like a assassin who wanted
assassin.
To convince
you.
No, but I'm saying like if I wanted to convince you that like, yeah, you know, like these things happen, but like it's not like it happens all the time. We're gonna talk to him first, you know. It's like I could just imagine sort of padding there's just saying like, yes, this guy died, and then there's like adding all these extra layers of fluff to
it. Oh, I didn't picture. I didn't know. Realize he might have died.
I don't know. I mean, you tell me. I don't know how many people were killed.
No, he told me he didn't.
Oh, okay.
He said he just took him for a drive.
I'm just assuming he's lying, though, right?
I don't know. At this point, I thought, you know, fuzzy bunnies came up. So.
Oh, speaking of fuzzy bunny, can I show you something from the fuzzy bunny?
Of course.
Cool.
Yeah.
I brought it along.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah. Since he was little, when we found it.
Got a couple things. So I got this one thing. This is actually had in my wallet. You can tell because it's old. Before McMillions was a thing.
Uh-huh.
I always kept it in my wallet because I thought it'd be funny if I ever got pulled over. I might have a chance if I had a get out of jail free card to give it to him and be like, dude, you
holy
get like,
shit,
you
got
like,
sh-
no, that's not from
the
show. I've just had that like forever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what?
Chest.
Maybe
yeah.
he would laugh and let me go.
Right.
But these are from my dad. I have a VIP fuzzy bunny card. This is
wow.
like, I guess what he got with his signature. And this was his.
The Low Country's largest adult entertainment complex. Fuzzy Bunnies VIP Gold, 1995. Damn. Ask manager about the gold card monthly special. This card remains the property of Fuzzy Bunnies and can be revoked.
I wonder what you have to do to get it revoked.
Exactly. Oh, wow. And this is his card, too?
Yeah, man.
Wow. From the Trop Poker Club. He was a poker player?
Yeah.
Damn.
I know you play online
yeah.
a lot, right?
Oh, I'll play in real life, too. That'd be fucking
cool.
Great. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
Damn, that's
good.
So sick.
He was actually good at it, too.
Really?
Look, we would be, when I went, I didn't go all the time because Frankie was so little, but when I did go, I would be like on roulette because you got odd even, you know, black and red, 50-50 chance.
Right.
Here he'd put $100 on one number and here I'm putting $5 on red and I'd turn around and, did I win?
Uh-huh.
He'd say, you stood not, turn around. He goes, you got $5 friggin' dollars on there,
right.
you know? Yeah, you won. Oh, yay, I got $10. Got 100 and something in my pocket, but I'm happy over that $10.
Oh, yeah. It'll go a long way when you win it, yeah. Yeah, let me ask you this. Do you feel like you can now sort of identify something about yourself personality-wise where you were attracted to this lifestyle at a young age that now, as an older person, you can look back at it and say, like, fuck, like, that was kind of crazy that I was behaving in such a way?
Well, it's funny because I was dating a retired federal agent at the time when I met Jerry.
Right.
And comparing the two... Yeah, I went for Jerry.
Right.
Yeah, he was pretty boring.
Right.
Real boring.
You wanted some excitement.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
You know, I was young. Then I got a little more than I chewed off. A few flags went up, but I stayed.
Right.
Wait, maybe it's not so bad.
But once you get in, it's hard to get out.
I could never.
When you're
born into that family,
uh-huh.
you can retire, like my father-in-law.
Right.
But if you join, you can never get out.
Right. Because they're never going to trust you.
Yeah,
you
got
to go. Maybe if you move to Mexico, you could like sort of fade into, they're not going to care anymore at some point.
I don't know.
Maybe
depends
not.
On what they've done and didn't know. You know, if it's still going on or whatever, you know.
Right. Definitely.
A lot of people think it's nothing wrong, you know, that it's gone, but...
It's not gone.
As long as there's money to be made on illegal things.
But how alive is this like culture still? Like people always kind of say like, oh, there is no mafia anymore. There is still. Or like because it's kind of weird. Like I watch a lot of The Sopranos lately. I've been rewatching the whole
That's
thing.
Jerry. Yeah, Tony Soprano was Jerry.
Okay. Because it's kind of weird to watch it and be like, man, from my perspective, it's kind of hard to imagine a world in which like 45-year-old Italian dudes are the ones doing all the cool crimes.
But they are.
Maybe not because in Southern California.
Do you know
but...
why? Do you know why,
Maybe,
though?
I don't know.
No, because the younger guys do not, they have to learn that loyalty.
Right.
And how to keep that mouth shut. Because guys, young guys... Getting into that, they want to brag.
Mm.
Hey, I just made this lick, you know, and
right.
tell that friend, that friend.
Some even
that
older
comes
guys
with
don't
wisdom,
know that.
You know, with that.
Right.
That's why it was so long for them to, you know, get in.
I just don't know if there's really like an Italian mafia out here in L.A. Like, it feels like if somebody's getting beat up for mowing the wrong lawn in L.A., it's probably
like
something.
Yeah, just a kid or something.
So I really wasn't raised, like, in that lifestyle. You know, like I said, I was kind of sheltered. But I did go to Sicily. Totally different lifestyle there.
Really?
Like, guys in suits on the corner. Mm. Like,
oh,
straight strapped.
That culture is still super alive there, yeah.
Crazy. So different.
Yeah.
There's even a lady that comes down from the mountain and brings, like, bread and eggs from the village. And, like, it's awesome, though.
Wow.
It's so cool, yeah.
That's pretty dope.
I've got Mr. Colombo's story. He's finally told it.
My grandfather, he's got some stories.
Really?
Coming from Sicily. Mm-hmm. And we've got to wait till February. But
why February? Because of the documentary?
No, because of the person that I trusted with my book. They trusted, and the contract's going to run out in February.
Oh, okay.
So then... But that's a heck of a story.
Lots of stories.
He's never told that to anybody.
Really?
He was always a real quiet guy.
And he's happy to tell the story? It's not like one of these things where
no.
you're never supposed to talk about it? Or?
No, because most of them are dead.
Right.
And Sicily.
Man, his lifestyle started when he was 5.
Uh-huh.
Like
yeah.
on the beach in Sicily, like 1940s. Just getting chased like
yeah,
crazy. Like by his dad.
Yeah, by his dad. Yeah.
Just... insane stuff.
Do you relate to Carmella?
It's no, because I didn't have that kind of camaraderie with women.
Mm. What do you mean though? Like she had a bunch of
friends
other women
that she was cool
with.
That's not true. I mean, it could be true.
They don't
want
the women associating with each other all that much.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Matter of fact, that was one of my big beefs with Jerry. I'm like, I don't have any friends, you know, because
right.
I didn't want to bring my friends from Jacksonville up there into that and then freak out. And the cul-de-sac I lived in was a very nice place where we lived. And these were not my type of women, you know. You had the commander's wife and, You know, they did ornament parties and cookies, bake sale, baking things, and right. I couldn't bake. So finally, I said, oh, I'm going to go buy the cookies, you know. I went to the mall, bought the cookies, and everybody's going around the table, tasting the cookies. And they're like, Miss Columbo, how did you get so many chocolate chips in your cookies? I'm like, I went to the mall and bought them. They're like, oh my God, she went to the mall. She went to the mall. Did you hear that?
They couldn't believe it.
No.
Really?
I had to get out of there.
That's wild.
But then there was a lady from India, from Queens. She goes, oh, I like you. I know you.
Because she was allowed to go to the store?
No, because she was from Queens and she'd heard of my name. And could relate with me. And she's like, I like you. She goes, I don't like me doing it. I said, I don't either. Let's go.
Wow.
Yeah, they were just so pretentious, you know.
I mean, if you want to control somebody, you just keep them locked away from other people that are going to, like, help them see what reality is, right?
Well, I started seeing a shrink, and I thought that was my thing. Okay, I can start talking to him. You know, now I can just talk. Until one day, I came out of the bathroom, I looked down the hall, and my husband's having this deep conversation with the doctor like this, and I know that look, and I know that stance. And it's just like, I went nuts. I just ran down the hall and I jumped on him like a gremlin.
So the shrink was basically a setup by your husband to be able to get all the information?
Oh. No, well, kind of, and keep me. Anytime I was like, you're so divorced, you're this, that, whatever, they would appease me, you know, with, does she want a horse? Give her a car, give her 15 grand, give her this, right. Get her friends here, whatever, you know, fly her here. And, you know, it sounds like, you little spoiled brat, that didn't happen for, you know, that didn't make you happy. Well, sometimes it did, but sometimes it didn't, because at the end of the day, you're still alone, you know. And anyway, so I thought that doctor was me and him, you know, I could just talk to him.
Right.
And in reality, he was just writing a prescription. So when I realized that was really his thing, I ran down the hallway and I leaped on him like a gremlin, you know, because he was a big guy. And I'm choking him. He stands up. I'm still on him. I'm dangling from the floor. And here's the doctor going, Robin, let go of Jerry. Okay. This is fine. Go ahead and leave Jerry, you know. And I sat on the couch and basically I had nothing else to say to him.
Wow.
I mean, what else?
You must have really felt you couldn't trust anybody, though.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Fuck. It's like some Truman Show shit where everybody's just sort of working behind the scenes against you, huh?
Well, it was.
Fuck. That's scary.
It was.
Did you ever feel like they were going to kill you because you knew too much?
No.
Never felt like it was that crazy?
Mm-mm. No, they were pretty big on not hurting women, children.
Really?
Yeah. Not like the Russian. I mean, you know, others.
I've heard that, but then I've also heard about a lot of girls getting killed because they knew too much.
Well, you know what? It depends on what they did. Well, you know, I did punch them in the face at the club, but...
No, it ain't that bad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought.
That's lover's quarrel
that's
shit,
what
right?
I thought, too. They're probably all saying, that's just Jerry's wife. He'll take care of her. Right. You know? It just depends on... I don't know. I don't know what they... I didn't think I'd ever really cross the line except for... Maybe that would have been my big thing, is running in there threatening them.
Right.
And punching them.
I mean, I feel like if my girlfriend punched me in the face, we could get over it pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's a girl. Yes. It's not going to hurt. She's not going to break my jaw. If she breaks my jaw, it's a little awkward.
Yeah,
but,
I didn't break his jaw.
Yeah.
I think it comes with having a kid. I'm just saying. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, and I forgot I even had him in the car still.
I could probably think of shit that I've done that I would understand if my girl wanted to punch me in the face. You know?
Yeah, that was one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
My girl threw a Henny bottle at my head.
Oh, wow.
Not really. She threw it at the ground. But I've accused her of, like, you threw that Henny bottle at me. She's like, I did not. I threw it at the ground.
Oh, another thing that comes with having a kid is getting kicked in the face at night with, like, by your kid.
While you're sleeping. They'll just decide to do that.
Oh, yeah. All night, bro. Like, they could be, because she, like, has her own room and everything, you know,
right.
But always ends up in our bed. And even if she's, like, way at the bottom of the bed or wherever, she'll always end up way at the top on the pillow, like, feet to the face all night. Just boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
Yeah, it happens. So get ready for that. Maybe sleep with some, like, pads.
Right.
It's helmet, at that point.
Like a sparring match?
Maybe.
My guy Josh over here, he told me that a big part of it is that they will just punch you in the balls because they don't know that hurts yet. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's something I'm kind of scared of.
Especially if you get a big reaction, because then they laugh and that's it from there. Yeah. So if that happens, just hold it in the best you can, and it won't happen again. Hopefully.
Really.
Hopefully. Make a pallet. I still can't even promise.
Don't let them.
I've tried that too. And she's still.
Sweat.
She's up there.
Yeah. She's
Yeah. She's up there. It's like magnets.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. okay. So how are you planning on like really making something out of this? Like in terms of monetizing this, turning it into something? Like, are you considering doing YouTube vlogging? You know, start your own podcast. What's the idea?
I've really seriously thought about it.
Right.
But.
You should help.
I don't
her
know
do
if I'd get the audience for it. You know, I think we could do something together, or if I could do it, I don't know. Is there really audience, you think?
I mean, I feel like the McMillions thing was so big that if you could find an interesting way to like provide more information,
I love people. Like, I'm a people person, right. You know, and I'd love to just talk to people all day. That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
So. You know, the way you just said that it was so big. I guess I didn't watch enough.
And I've lived in Missouri the past year just because it's cheaper to live there. So no one's seen it out there. So no one knows me out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for real.
What, like a few people. Hulu?
I got recognized at Walmart a couple times. But like a guy hooked me up with a cool phone. He was like, "You're the guy from HBO, right?" I was like, yeah. I was like, "Oh, you work at this phone place? Like, let's talk for a minute."
Yeah, and people love him. You know, because he was a poor kid, you know, that had to grow up in it.
I mean, people are fascinated by the women. They're fascinated by the kids. Anybody who's sort of wrapped up in the shit without necessarily having a good reason that they had to be.
Well, you know what? When you just said it was so big, I really didn't realize it was so big.
Right.
I honestly did not watch it on YouTube and social media.
Because I mean,
I stay away from that stuff.
I feel like every single person who works here immediately knew what I was talking about when I said Robin Columbo. They're like, her?
Oh, really?
So, I mean, I feel like it's kind of, it's a thing.
Oh.
That's awesome.
I guess we'll find out, though.
We'll see where it goes.
We'll see how far this podcast
goes. Actually, you know.
To the top, like every one of them.
Because in the book that I wrote, it's not just about mob stuff. About a lot of stuff that I, as a woman, have actually been through.
Mm.
Devastating stuff that I'm surprised I'm still here. So,
Defector.
and this other gentleman have been kicking around a nonprofit organization for women. Children and different things that maybe something good can come out of it.
That's awesome.
Because I've always said, I mean, there's so much that I've been through that there's no way you can have a nonprofit for all of it.
Mm.
There's just too much. I mean, because there's some people that probably couldn't walk 2 miles in my shoes. It's not just about that I won actually, I didn't even get the ticket. I gave my ticket away.
Right.
But I went to prison for it.
I really want to like point out one specific person too, like from Instagram. Actually, she reached out to me and was like, "Hey, I'm a young mom. My husband just passed away a couple months ago from a car accident. My son is 2 years old. I just watched your show. Like, I really relate to you." She was like, "I'm in a dark place. Like, will you just talk to me?" And I literally talked to her on Instagram for a couple days, and like I felt like she related to my mom a lot. Like in that time, you know, I called my mom and asked her for advice, and was like talking back and forth for them, and it was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like I actually felt like I love helping people, man.
Yeah,
like
me
if I
too.
Could do that, that's awesome.
That is
so. I've had a lot of women
talk
hug
to anybody.
Me and review. Thank you for sharing your story, because there's nothing I left out, not a thing.
Mm.
I bared it all. And I put it out there. And so a lot of people, women mainly, thank you so much. I can't believe, you know, because I've been there. Not maybe everything, but I've been there. So it helps women when they think that they're the only one that's been through certain ordeals. Because I've been kidnapped.
In this whole mafia type thing?
Yeah.
By enemies or by people on your own side?
By some goons on the same side.
Oh, boy.
Tell them the story
they were
about...
so stupid.
Though. You know, the one we talked about with when you got kidnapped with me.
Yeah, you were with me. He was with me. I was covered under a pillow.
That's
kind of
talked about in McMillions. They talk, but they don't get into detail.
He was standing by the bed, and I was screaming with a pillow over my face.
Uh-huh.
And they were threatening me because, of course, they wanted me to be with my son, but they were just going to keep me somewhere and feed me enough to keep me alive and just say I went off and did drugs. So that would have been, you know, nobody would have been looking for me. I was just off doing drugs. Mm. And so, you know, I'm looking around like my surroundings and like, did these idiots really just leave this door open? So I grabbed my son and I just ran for the door. And it's not funny then, but it's funny now. And oh, that's one thing. You've got to have a sense of humor to get through life. Mm-hmm. You do.
100%.
Because most of the crap that I've been through, I laugh about now. And I've made some kind of joke out of it. Mm. But I literally picked up my son and I just ran for the door. And then I could hear the goons behind me. And I looked in a room because there was a room open. And this maid was doing the bed, right? And I go, call 911. And I heard, she must have saw the guys after me. She goes, ah, Lord Jesus. You know? And so here I go running. I get to my Explorer. I didn't have my keys.
You didn't have the keys, right?
Were you carrying
thank
me,
God.
Or was
yeah,
I like running?
I was
running,
carrying you.
Kinda,
you
I don't
little.
Remember.
I was
like
carrying you. But thank God she got to the police in time for the police to show up because, yeah, I didn't have my keys.
Wow.
But I did escape.
And if you hadn't, things might have been pretty bad.
Way different.
God damn.
Yeah.
You definitely got a story to tell.
Yeah.
If that got left on the cutting room floor of that documentary, then that's...
Oh, there's a lot. There's so much.
Damn.
McMillions is just a piece of me.
Just scratching the surface.
I feel like I got into detail about a lot of things too, but they also did a really good job of portraying the good out of me. Like just the positive
stuff.
Yeah,
they
did. Which is what I'm really about, you know, just positivity and things like that. So it's cool. They did a great job with that.
They are, yeah.
But there was a lot cut out.
Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't about...
But there's so much too to the story. Like I see some comments are like, oh, I don't think it needed to be that long, but like it could have been longer.
Yeah. The six parts, like as I kept getting deeper and deeper into it, like the moment when you first come on camera, it suddenly starts to make sense. Like, oh, okay, this is why we need a whole bunch of episodes because there's a shitload of interesting characters involved in this, you know?
It's a lot, man.
Yeah. Fuck.
Pretty much. I say
okay,
the same
now
thing.
I can say anything.
Oh, yeah, you just say fuck. That's cool, yeah.
Just say it a couple times to get it out. Fuck.
No,
fuck.
Used to be my favorite word, actually.
Not anymore?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm trying to stop cussing, but.
That's okay.
Got the vape pen. Quit smoking.
I know. I'm so proud of her. Look at that.
No more
smoking,
just vaping.
Cigarettes like crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because I was nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say this as someone who just smokes a cigarette, but it's a disgusting habit, yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, people smell it on you now. And nowadays, it's not socially acceptable.
It is. When you see somebody bust out a big-ass cigarette, it does kind of stand out a lot. Like, oh, what, this guy think he's a cowboy or something? Like, what the hell is that thing? Like, it just seems like so much.
You know, in my 20s, I was dating Alan Collins of Skinner, right? And so we went into, and I bartended, and we just partied, and you smoking cigarettes everywhere, you know, in the clubs, everything. So it wasn't taboo. Now, if you even smoke one outside of a club, which I don't really go clubbing, but a restaurant, for example, people just
they look at you like a piece of shit. Yeah.
God, I can't believe you. That
when you watch
thing.
Old movies and you see people smoking in restaurants,
they make it look nice.
It's weird. Like immediately, just stands out to you. Like you're blowing fucking smoke in someone's face while they're trying to eat a steak. What are you insane?
What about a hospital?
Oh, the hospital.
Right.
That's so crazy.
They used to smoke in hospitals.
Yeah.
I bet they had vending machines with cigarettes in the hospital.
Probably.
Definitely. They had those everywhere. Remember that?
Yeah.
And you're a kid.
I don't remember that.
So it just looks like a game to you, and you're kind of looking at it like, wow, Newport. I wonder what those are like. Yeah. I remember that as a kid for sure. Yeah. Marlboro? No, yeah. Definitely. It's crazy. I remember like the Denny's where I grew up was half smoking, half not smoking. But what is the divide? It's like there's no divide. It's just like...
Oh, yeah, the non-smoking.
Yeah,
smoking
there's
area.
One lady sitting here and one lady sitting here, and she's smoking a whole pack, and she's not, and somehow she's supposed to be safe from that? Like, it makes no sense.
Right.
Logic.
Kind of crazy to think about. Anyway, you guys want to smoke some cigarettes? Let's go. appreciate
I don't think any cool story starts like that.
No, it's no, one they time all do.
I smoked a cigarette.
Yeah, one day we were just kicking and smoking cigarettes. That's the whole story.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. We just
hanging
cigarette.
Out blowing cigs. loud cigs and drinking White Claws also. I appreciate you guys coming on. Anything you guys want to promote or let us know coming out?
Well, other than the nonprofit organization that we're going to get kicked off here soon.
Do you have any personal questions? Like, what kind of music you listen to? What kind of movies? I don't know.
I don't think he gives a shit.
Yeah,
probably not.
What kind of music you listen to?
I don't know, dude.
I still listen to Skinner, though.
Still?
Oh, yeah. Respect. Tell him about Skinner.
Actually,
she dated.
I told him.
Oh, okay.
He missed it.
Oh.
Damn. Anyway.
She mentioned it real quick.
Yeah. But, you know. Actually, though,
my nephew is like raps a little bit. He's pretty big in Jacksonville.
Oh,
Slugga
yeah,
T.
My grandson.
Slugga T.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's big in Duval.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I like the sounds
he's
of
real
it.
Good.
I gotta check him out.
Yeah.
That's fire.
The song
well,
Cuckoo
he's locked
is
up
my
right
favorite.
Now.
Sounds cool.
Really?
Yeah, because him and a, you know, they get on, they go after each other with words on their music.
He's in jail because of a rap beef?
Yeah.
Literally, dude, because of music videos, like showing really? Guns in the music video. So they're like, oh.
You might have had him on here.
No, he didn't have Slugger.
I probably remember, but then.
Not Slugger.
No, Tyler. He didn't have Tyler on here.
Not Tyler.
Well, I'm going to look into this now. Any song that is intense enough that someone could go to jail for it, realistically, sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. No, the other.
Oh, what? They had Instagram videos threatening each other or something?
Yeah, and then somebody in one of these cities, I don't know where it was in the U.S., they did a whole thing on Duval with these, because these were kids that played Warner's Pop football together.
Right.
And now they're rappers. Rapping against each other, you know?
Yeah.
And the gang squad come to your house looking for your grandson over a video.
Right.
I'm like, what?
That is crazy. They go straight from football to like
and I'm
online
like, why can't
gang
you get
banging
this,
like it's the same
why
thing.
Why can't you go get this gang that's coming back at them? They said, well, because they keep moving state to state and we can't catch them.
Really?
But I said, well, he can't because he's got an ankle monitor on, so he can't.
They should
move
to L.A. because all these rappers are screaming at each other online in L.A.
Well,
and the cops are basically like, if there's not a dead body, we're not showing up at this point in L.A. It's pretty crazy.
Well, Duval's just feeling it.
Right. They got nothing else to do.
No, they don't.
You go to Florida, and it's like, oh, shit, everybody
Florida's
getting arrested
crazy.
Out here.
Oh,
yeah, because there's no real crime.
You come on vacation and leave on probation.
or it's the waiting room for God or go to heaven.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of old people.
I've gotten harassed riding bikes in Florida and just been like, the cops being super aggressive and angry, and I'm just looking at them like, bro,
are
you serious? Like, I wish you understood how the cops act in L.A., because it's not like this when it comes to riding bikes, because in L.A., there's so much more real shit to deal with.
I literally have a possession of weed charge for a little blunt roach and, like, a tiny nug, barely.
Oh, my God.
Like, and that's actually messed me up from jobs and stuff.
What the
like,
fuck?
Yeah, can I shout out my Instagram?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, Francesco _G_Colombo. Just Francesco.
And he's
Gennaro
out here repping
Colombo.
The McMillions
I'm
franchise.
Out here. Yes.
He's letting you know.
It's cool. You should check it out for sure.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg was the executive producer on McMillions.
Mm.
And I believe Ben Affleck's getting ready to do a movie, McScam.
Him and
so
Matt Damon.
So it's going to keep going.
Wow, that's
hopefully
interesting.
I'd like
no,
to, man.
No, yeah, they've pretty much confirmed.
Every good story now has so many different ways it can be translated. It could be a documentary series. It could be a movie. It could be a Snapchat documentary. Who knows?
Right.
There's a lot to it to make it a good movie, too. Because there's been not really a whole lot of good stuff out there. But
if you see your husband being played as Brad Pitt, your ex-husband, how's that going to feel?
I don't think that would even...
It's not right.
Nah,
he's not the Brad Pitt in the group.
I thought it was even wild seeing whoever that little kid was, you know, in McMillions. It played me, like, in the back seat, you know, crying and stuff.
Right,
and, like, running out of the store with a purse.
That.
Yeah, there's a little kid that played me.
The
so
B-roll
shout out
clips,
little
yeah.
kid, Frankie. Whoever that is.
Shout out to him.
Yeah. Hmm. He's going to be a big actor one day.
I watched it. It was just hard to watch me. I could, you know.
A little too real?
Yeah.
Honestly, can I talk about that for a second?
Sure.
That's the one thing about the show that really broke me down. Because I didn't have a warning about the accident, you know, being in the show.
Mm.
I didn't know they really reenacted the accident like that. And that's something I've never really seen like that. So it kind of hurt to watch. But
to see this, like,
to see it,
visual
it was,
reproduction of what really happened?
Really
Damn.
Intense. They did a great job. You know, it was really dramatic in the way they left it hanging.
Right.
But,
now,
man,
they did
it was
call
intense.
Me that afternoon to inform me.
Yeah, we
to
talked
let
a little
me
bit about
that
it before.
Mrs. Colombo was going to be the one
mm-hmm.
that
they called
their son
before.
Was going to throw under the bus.
Uh-huh.
But I told
him. He had no right to do that.
No, who? What son does that?
He trespassed them from his house.
Anyway, I told them, look, I fought with them already 20 years ago over this. Uh-huh. I knew they did it. So I'm not going to back up. We're family again. We love each other. I'm not going to go back and let's fight again. You know, and they said, good. We just wanted to make sure you knew what you were about to see. So kudos to them for even doing that. You know, I could have just not seen. They were good about that. But I guess not maybe the accident. I didn't see that either. There was parts I couldn't watch just because it was just too. I couldn't stand to watch Frank and Heather. Mm. They just.
For a second, I thought that Frank was the one you were coming with. And then
both of them.
And then I realized it was him. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's why we call him Francesco now.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I used to just go by Frankie and like Frank, but no, I don't anymore because, yeah, now it gets confusing. Mm-hmm. But I like Francesco.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
A little flair.
Yeah, Francesco.
Some people don't like
Gennaro.
To say it, though, and I'm like, sorry, too bad.
Too many syllables?
I guess so.
Francesco Gennaro Colombo.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is a pretty name.
Thank you. I'm honestly, man, I just want you to know I really am happy to be here. It's cool. Yeah. I watch your show a lot, so.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
You're way cool, yeah.
Thank you so much.
You are.
Hey, if you are looking for some gangsters out here, I got a couple of them in the other room. I can introduce you to some of my friends. I don't know. I appreciate you guys coming on.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you so much. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want support. Appreciate y'all.
Peace.
Thank you, guys.
Of course, man. Mm. Thank you.